Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is Agape in Tutori. You're listening to True Book Radio. Today we have a very special person with us, Max Egan. Max Egan has been internationally known researcher, radio host, and filmmaker. And I'm very glad that we can welcome Max on our show today. And we have so many things to cover, so I just want to jump straight into the interview. So good day to you, Max.
Pleasure to be here, Agape. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Max, I would like to start with a little bit of introduction, because I know some people probably heard about you but don't know very much about what you do. So if you could elaborate on that.
Well, basically, I'm a radio host at the moment, which is kind of amazing in itself that that happened. I never really planned to be a radio host, but here I am. I'm a filmmaker. I've spent most of my life actually as a touring musician, so I've got to live on the outside of society through most of my life, which has been kind of a good thing, and it's given me a very unique perspective of society, so I'm very fortunate in that. It's also allowed me to travel extensively, so I've got to research a lot of different places, and so it's been kind of good, and it's weird when you look back and you realize that everything you've done has led perfectly to the point you are now at, and that all the things that you did during your life all finally have a purpose, because most of them didn't really seem like they had much of a purpose at the time, but where I find myself now, it's fortunate that I did the things that I did do, or I wouldn't have the knowledge that I have now to be able to do the things I do now. So it's been quite good, actually. So so basically, I just spent my life playing and touring and researching. I spent a lot of time researching ancient history and things like that. And then I saw things going on in the world that, well, they weren't really to the benefit of humankind, and I thought that it would be a good time to actually start speaking out about it. So I started making the films, and I put them up on YouTube, not really thinking anyone would look at them, but suddenly found myself inundated with emails and letters and offers for interviews, and ended up landing a job as a radio show host just because of the films that I put on YouTube. And I honestly didn't think anyone would even watch them when I first put them up there, but I was very much mistaken. So here I am, just from basically doing that. One thing I am, though, is a normal, everyday person. And that, I think, is the beauty of it all, is the fact that I'm actual proof that you don't have to be somebody, in inverted commas, to make a difference. You just have to be willing to speak out. And if you are willing to speak out, you'll very likely find that there are other people out there that are willing to listen. So that's a good thing for anybody to look at as well.
Yeah, today I would like to speak about, more about the world events, because we all kind of feel that something is happening to the planet, something is happening with the environment, something is happening with the society. We all know that something is happening with the economy, but I don't want to really focus on economy today. So I'm not sure if you've heard about, that we had in August, in a matter of like 4 days, we had millions and millions of animals dying all around the planet. We also know that, the amount of earthquakes is starting to be quite frequent, and we have volcanic activity all around the planet. So what do you think is actually happening?
Well, look, there's some pretty amazing things going on. I mean, the world that we live in now, it almost seems that apocalyptic catastrophes are inevitable. It really does seem that way sometimes when you look around. But I don't know if such is the case. I think that we are heading for changes, whether they be physical or psychological or spiritual. I really do think we are heading for changes. I think the Earth is evolving. I think that humanity is evolving with it. And I think that what actually evolves, when all is said and done, it's consciousness. It's a very deep rabbit hole, actually, to get into. My personal view, anyway, on what the changes that we're seeing manifest with the planet and the human species is, I actually believe that it's an evolution of consciousness that's taking place. A lot of the work that I do, a lot of the films that I've made, a lot of the radio shows that I do, I talk a lot about energy. I look at anything and everything on an energetic level. And when you understand that all matter is condensed energy, and you understand that everything in the universe consists of this energy, that's all that actually exists, is pure conscious energy. And I think that it is this energy itself is actually evolving. And if you really look through history, you find that it evolves in regular, predictable cycles. It follows the Fibonacci sequence. If you look at the Schumann cavity resonance of the Earth, for example, you find that the Schumann cavity resonance has sat around seven cycles for thousands and thousands of years. We've used this to set atomic clocks and to measure time itself. And you find now that the Schumann cavity resonance is rising, and it's rising in the predictable sequences outlined in the Fibonacci sequence. So I think that's what's happening. I think we're going to see lots of Earth changes. I think that's also what's causing the global awakening that's happening, whether you want to call it a political awakening or a social awakening or a spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it. We are seeing a lot of people suddenly sort of coming to terms with the fact that everything isn't exactly the way they thought it was. They're sort of looking at the world and thinking, well, hang on, you know, I've been lied to all my life, or hang on, we shouldn't be in a state of poverty the way we are. We should be in a state of abundance, or just whatever. There's so many things happening within the human consciousness and within the human psyche at the moment. There is such a huge awakening happening. And it's not just because people like you and people like me, people like David Icke, Alex Jones, whoever, are speaking out about the criminals that are in charge of the planet. It's this awakening that's happening on all levels, and it's an energetic thing. You can almost feel it. So I think that really, I think everything's as it should be. I just think that everything and reality itself is in a state of evolution at the moment. I think that's what the whole 2012 date is about. I think that it's basically an evolution of consciousness. And I think the most important thing through this period is the state of the human consciousness. I think that's why a lot of the weird things are being done, why a lot of the esoteric things are being done to the world, why there's so much ritual going on. A lot of people talk about perhaps Luciferian forces that are in charge of the planet, evil forces, the Illuminati, whoever you want to call it. I think all of this is ritual. It's all about energy. The whole thing is about energy. I think it's trying to, it's an attempt to control the human consciousness through this transitional period. I think the state of the human consciousness through this period is the most important thing of all. And that's what a lot of my work focuses on.
Just for our listeners, the Schumann resonance is a vibratory resonance value of the planet. I don't remember the exact number. You might want to, if you know it, Max, you can say that. But basically what it is that, as we know, everything lets out some kind of like a vibration because atoms themselves are vibrating, and it vibrates on a certain energy or a certain frequency. So this is the measurement of the frequency of the planet, and it has been steadily rising, as Max has stated, according to the Fibonacci sequence. So just to clear it out for you, so you know what it is, and you can definitely look it up on the internet. Just type in Schumann resonance, and you'll find what it is. So Max, since you're speaking about esoteric rituals, you know, can we get into that? Like, what exactly do you mean?
Well, what you find is that when you start looking into the ruling elite, if you want to look at it that way, I mean, that's something I'd like to understand. I mean, that's something I'd really like to see people do, even when they're beginning to look at how the world is run at all. I'd really like people to understand that, understand the fact that our leaders are simply figureheads. It doesn't matter what country you're in. These are simply figureheads. They're corporate puppets doing the bidding of a corporate banking cartel that they work for. They're magicians, folks. They're magicians that are weaving you the illusion that you have a choice in things. But you don't, because everything is basically orchestrated. And when you really start looking at global events and main world-affecting events that happen, things like 9/11, things like the invasion of Iraq, the wars that go on, you find that all of these things are basically rituals. They're, for all intents and purposes, magic rituals, if you want to get into it that way. Basically, it's all about energy manipulation. All magic is, after all, is energy manipulation, whether it's black magic or white magic or however you want to look at it. It's all about energy. Everything is about energy. even exchanges we have with people are about energy. And this is a real energy. It really does work that way. We've all walked into a room and you might walk in there and think, oh, I can cut the air in here with a knife because someone in the room is really angry. And you can feel that. It's an energy thing. So all of these things that they do, all these main events are all energy rituals. For example, the invasion of Iraq, the most recent invasion of Iraq, the shock and awe campaign that happened in, 2003, wasn't it? Yeah. But the actual ritual, it was a blood ritual, it was a blood sacrifice ritual. It actually began on a night known as Beltane, and it finished on Walpurgis night. And this is a night of druidic ritual. It's a sacrifice by blood, a sacrifice by fire. And this happened at exactly the right time. The name of the campaign was Shock and Awe. And Shock and Awe is an ancient goddess of sacrifice. So you find that these things, most of the things they do are all rituals. They're all done on ritualistic dates. Even 9/11, the amount of symbolism attached to 9/11 is quite significant. Even the number 11, they love to use the number 11. But you can go through and you can virtually predict all the things that they're going to do. And you can find that they always sign things. They always leave their signature on it in the name of a date or something like that. They'll do things on particular days. So that's something that people really should look at. And a lot of it is done to control the human experience, to control the human psyche, to control the human consciousness, to keep people in an energetic state of fear, fear of terrorism, fear of all of these things. And even the soldiers that are involved in these rituals, you find they're all marked with occult symbolism and marked for sacrifice and things like that. Many people might not question why all soldiers from all different nations all have similar insignia on their uniform. Why would, for example, Russian soldiers and American soldiers both have oak leaves on their uniforms? Why would they both have red ribbons and five-pointed stars? It's because these things are occult talismans. So they mark the soldiers with occult symbolism. They send them to designated places on Earth to perform sacrifice rituals on certain dates. And they always basically do it in plain view. As I said, calling the campaign Shock and Awe, when Shock and Awe is an ancient goddess of sacrifice, starting it on Beltane, finishing on Walpurgis night, a period of ancient druidic sacrifice by fire. They go and firebomb Iraq. So you find that there's rituals in all of these things that they do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So do you see any of the recent events that are happening? You know, I would like to a little bit later get into the whole thing about Iran, which is unfolding right now, but let's just hold that for a second. So in the recent events, like, for example, the BP oil gusher, which they have, you know, caused down there in the Gulf of Mexico, and we see that everybody, the general public, has been wore down. And no one is actually following that anymore, really, and they're not even reporting on it anymore in the mainstream media much. So do you think that that was a ritual as well? Do you see any of those patterns there?
Oh, it was very predictable that they'd do that. It's actually myself and a few other people were looking at certain events in the United States, and we were noticing that there was a pentangle being formed. If you look at events like between the Pentagon crash and 9/11, the World Trade Center, and you look at the space shuttle disaster in Waco and Katrina and things like this, you start drawing lines between them all, you find there's a pentangle being formed, and there was one arm of the pentangle, one point of the star that was missing, and that was in the Gulf of Mexico. So in a radio show, I think it was early 2009, I mentioned that we'll likely see an event in the Gulf of Mexico because that's what it's all shaping up to be. And here we go, a year later, we see this event in the Gulf of Mexico. But apart from that, they tried to get all of this extremely repressive legislation through in Copenhagen, and they failed miserably. Everybody found out what was actually going on with Copenhagen. They found out that it was all about handing control over to the IMF and the World Bank, and all of these countries pulled out. So they didn't manage to get any of their legislation through. We didn't really think that they were going to go away with it, did we? Of course they're not. Of course they're going to try something else. And so right on cue, we have this oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico, which I don't even believe was a proper oil gusher. I think it was actually an asphalt volcano that they drilled into. I think they made it look like an oil gusher, but I don't think it was anything like what they told us it was. And I think it was very cleverly designed to get them to pass all the legislation they didn't get through in Copenhagen, because the first thing we saw Obama do was come on and say, look, we've got to put all this in place, we've got to put all this, we're doing all this in terrible environmental damage happening, and so we have to put all of these laws in place. And these were all the laws they didn't get through in Copenhagen. So it was right on cue. And then along, everyone's saying, all through the whole oil thing, everyone's saying, well, where's Al Gore? Where's Mr. Environmentalist? What's he doing about this? We didn't hear from Al Gore at all. And then right at the end of it all, we see Al Gore and Bill Gates appear riding their white chargers in the form of their new film they're making called The Shift. And The Shift is a film which is basically saying, look, we need to think of humanity and Earth and as one organism, and we need to unite and do all this stuff, and all these things we actually need to do, but they're using this film to co-opt the entire environmental movement, the green movement, the New Age movement, the everything they can think of, co-opt it all into one little parcel and say that they can fix the world with carbon tax. So it's very predictable that this oil spill would happen. And if you look at the Gulf of Mexico, you find that there is a huge percentage of the Gulf of Mexico floor is covered with asphalt volcanoes. If you drill into the side of one of these things, you're going to release just enough oil to create a pretty sizable oil slick, and you're going to create all this stuff, and all these, no one's going to know what's going on because you've got security guards everywhere and private contractors everywhere keeping everyone away from the beaches. You get to spray all this corrects at 9500 in the Gulf, which is incredibly toxic, four times more toxic than the oil, which is all going to come down in acid rain and do an incredible amount of damage to all of the coastal regions. So you're going to see lots and lots of people all through Texas and Alabama and South Carolina and all these places all getting quite sick from acid rain and all the stuff that's in the Brexit. So they get to cull the population. They get to bring in all the laws that they didn't get passed in Copenhagen. And it's just so predictable. It's very, very well timed. You look at all the insider trading that happened before it. You know, Goldman Sachs dumping all their stocks. Tony Hayward dumping all his stock as well. All sorts of things. Halliburton buying the oil cleanup company just a matter of days before the event. There's so much to indicate that they knew this was going to happen. And, the nature of these deep oil deposits, I don't think that they'd be stupid enough to actually drill into a deep deposit in a mile of water, knowing they wouldn't ever be able to fix it. So I think it's basically an asphalt volcano. I think the whole thing was a big scam to get a whole bunch of legislation, a lot of very nasty legislation, all pushed through to trumpet Bill Gates and Al Gore's new environmental campaign. It's perfectly timed, and I think that's what's going on personally.
So, since we know that this is how they operate, and I keep telling this to people that you may not believe in the esoteric things, but they do. Well, they don't even believe, they know it works, and that's how they operate. And again, it's just masks within masks. You know, it's not always that you know, you see that such a thing has happened, then you start to understand that it probably was done on purpose, and then you come up with reasons, which most of the time you're just looking at, you know, the very surface of things, you know, and many people don't look deep to actually understand the reasons for this. So also, we're starting to see a very similar pattern, in terms of the United States behavior and United Nations behavior, towards Iran. You know, we know that when, as you said, when the shock and awe happened in Iraq, it was a year after they started the sanctions, and about, I think it was about 2 months after United States has passed a resolution stopping all the business ties with anyone in Iraq, any company that is international works in Iraq. Would basically by that they are saying to those companies in advance, get out of there, something is going to happen. And we know that that's the same thing which actually happened with Iran last month. The United States has House of Senate has passed a resolution you know, canceling all business ties with all the companies that have some ties to Iran. We know that there are three warships off the coast of Iran with 14,000 troops, fight jet carriers, and, you know, just whole artillery. So, Max, what do you think about, you know, what's happening down there?
Well, I think there's very, very high likelihood that they will attack Iran. I mean, I think they have to, because the money system is completely on its last legs, and they're trying to stretch as much of that out as possible. And so they need to generate an awful lot of spending to do that, and you can only generate that type of spending with having another war. And it's, again, it's also about energy. It's also about manipulating the human consciousness. They really want us in a state of complete and utter chaos through this transitional period. That's the Illuminati slogan, after all, order ab chao, order out of chaos. That's what it's all about. But when you understand that it's all about energy, the whole thing, everything that they do is about energy, and all the rituals and the black magic, whether people believe in black magic or not, whether they believe in Luciferianism or not. And personally, I'm not a Christian. I don't follow any religion. But the people who are in charge of the planet, they do. And they totally believe in this Luciferian doctrine. And when you really look at it and you start looking at it scientifically, what you find is that all this Luciferian doctrine is, and so-called black magic is an understanding of energy and how to manipulate energy. And that's what they do. That's what all of this stuff is about, is manipulation of energy. That's what most of the wars are about. That's how you control the human psyche, how you control the human consciousness. But the fact that they have to do this, they have to stage all of these wars through this transitional period. They have to make the world as negative as they can. They have to fill your food full of neurotoxins, spray the skies with chemicals, put fluoride in the water, bombard you with propaganda on television, electromagnetic radiation from mobile phones. Everything they have to do to keep people in this negative state, when all the people actually have to do is change their emotional state. It's that simple. That's how powerful people actually are. That they have to actually go to all of this trouble just to keep people in this negative state. And people miss that. They look at all this stuff and they miss that. They miss what it's all about. If people simply change their energetic state and do what's right in all that they do, stop tolerating all of this, stop going along with it, come into their power, we could change the world in 3 seconds. We really could. We can look at all of the things they do, you know, they in inverted commas. We can point the finger at our leaders, at the banking cartels, at all of these criminals in power. We can say, look, that's them. That's the problem. That's the criminals that are doing all this. But then we just go back to our television sets. The real problem is our acquiescence to this corruption at the top of our societies. All of the problems that we face, whether it's a problem of the war in Iran, whether it's a problem of whaling, whether it's the problem of homelessness, of pollution, whatever, all these things are symptoms of the one problem, which is the corruption at the very highest levels of our social and political structures. That's what needs to be addressed. We're never going to fix anything until we address the way this world's run. The systems that are used to control people, the corrupt monetary system, money, all money does is put people in a state of shortage. It doesn't perform any purpose that serves humankind. Money in its current state. Money itself is not such a bad thing, but the money that we have, which is based on interest-bearing debt, serves no functional purpose in empowering humankind. All it does is put people in a state of shortage. So we need to address things like this. We need to understand that any politician that allows this is a criminal. They're allowing their nation to be enslaved to debt. They're creating the third world globally. They're turning the whole globe into the third world. They're doing it through this interest-based monetary system. They want to attack countries like Iran because Iran doesn't want to be part of all this. You know, I mean, I don't think that I agree with the Prime Minister of Iran. I think he's probably as much in the game as anybody else. But, I mean, I don't think any of the wars that are fought for the reasons they tell us they are. I think Iran at the moment is a free-thinking nation. And Ahmadinejad has said he would like to see the end of Zionism in the world. People have taken that to say that he wants to see the end of the Jews. He doesn't want to see the end of the Jews. He just wants to see the end of Zionism, and I think that would probably be a good thing. I don't think that Zionism performs any useful purpose either. But I don't have anything against any race or any creed or any culture, any people from any country. I have a problem with governments worldwide. I think that it's all puppeteered. It's all puppeteered by banking cartels. And I think that the war with Iran is inevitable simply because without it, the entire system's going to crash. Because unfortunately, we've developed this system which is based on conflict. We have to have an enemy. We have to generate spending. It's this consumer mentality, this consumer spending mentality where we just spend our time pulling things out of the earth and using them up quickly and turning them into rubbish and always creating conflicts because we have to have an enemy, because if we don't have an enemy, we're going to have to look at ourselves. But they don't want people doing this. They really want people to be in this state of turmoil through this change. It's a big, big, messy web, but I think there's a lot of reasons that we're in the state that we're in. But I also think that it's our acquiescence to this corruption that allows it and allows it to be perpetuated. So I think that's where we have to look. I think we have to look within ourselves.
I definitely agree that we do need to look within ourselves and first search for answers there. But also, so since you're saying you believe that the war with Iran is inevitable, and I'm not sure if you heard some of the reports that have been denied by the United States, but I don't trust what they say. That Saudi Arabia has actually given a go to Israeli government that in case of strike on Iran, they can use their airspace to go directly to over them to Iran, so they don't have to fly around. So, you know, we can just make a guess. You know, and you know, I'm just asking your personal opinion here. How do you think it's going to unfold, and what in your mind would be like the time scale? Is it going to happen within 1 month? Is it going to happen within 6 months? You know, what do you think?
I think it'll very likely happen before the end of the year. But, I mean, I couldn't say for sure. I think it's very likely that Saudi Arabia would allow them to use their airspace because, I mean, Saudi Arabia is almost a puppet state of America now anyway. I mean, The Saudi influence in America is incredible. And even the 9/11, or the alleged 9/11 attackers were all Saudis. Of course, they went and bombed Afghanistan for that, so that's another story. But yeah. I'd say very likely before the end of the year. I mean, Israel's been trying to get this off the ground for ages. Israel's really been itching to go and bomb Iran for an awfully long time. And the bill that you mentioned earlier that Obama drafted a couple of months ago, the executive order, basically giving Israel an open you know, card to go and do it, is a very telltale sign. So I'd be surprised if it isn't well underway by the end of the year. Most unfortunate, yep. Because Iran's a beautiful country.
Yeah, it is. Yes, and I'm sure that you're familiar with Cliff High and, you know, his Webbot reports, which they're not the only source which is saying that something is supposed to happen in November this year. Of course, again, we don't know what it is. We can just guess, but there's one interesting date I would invite our listeners to actually look at and be aware of, you know. Do you believe that this can escalate into a third world war, and is there any hope for humanity?
Look, I think there is. I think that it might get to the darkest hour, but I think there is. But I think it's going to have to be when humanity comes into their power. I really do. I think it's about time the people stood up and said no. If your leader wants to send you to war, you say, well, no, sir, I won't go. I won't go and kill other people for you anymore. And you can't jail the whole country. Personally, I think that in any form of draft, the politicians' children should be first on the line and the politicians themselves. I've travelled a lot. I've never found people anywhere that I didn't like. And what I've found with all wars is that it's not the people. It's not the nation fighting the nation. It's the politicians arguing with the other politicians. And usually it's being puppeteered by an international banking cartel that's financing both sides of the conflict and reaping an enormous amount of profit from it. I think that it's high time people started realizing that we're all together on this planet. There really is only one of us here. It's all one single species. And I think that it's high time we started working together and forgetting about what our governments tell us to do. We actually employ our governments to act on our behalf and to act in our best interests and to do things that serve the people. But our governments have long since ceased to do this. And I think it's about time for people to recognize this. People see this all the time and they'll say the politicians are crooks. And then they'll go back to their TV. They won't do anything about it. Well, hang on a minute. You just said that they were crooks. And yet these people are running your life. And we employ these people to act on our behalf. See, politicians have passed laws and they've created this social status for themselves that we sort of look at these people and we elevate them to almost royalty and we treat them as if they're demigods and rulers. But they're not. They're public servants. And they're not serving the public. They're simply working for international banking cartels. I have a yardstick that I use, Garbo. When I think of politicians, I think, well, any politician who has not yet spoken out against the central banking system and the way the citizens of their nation are enslaved to artificial debt by the central banking system, which is a privately run system. Any politician that hasn't yet spoken out about this is either a criminal or is too stupid to be in office. And that's the yardstick that I use to measure these people by. And as far as their laws go, I mean, I might seem like somewhat of a radical, but as far as their laws go, as far as I'm concerned, there's really only natural law. You don't kill, you don't steal, you don't hurt. That's really basically all there is. All the other laws are basically just little squiggly lines written on pieces of paper by men with expensive suits. They don't actually mean anything. We only give power to these laws, which are just legislation, because we choose to. We choose to allow these criminals to run our world and run our lives. And all the problems that we face is because of our acquiescence to the behavior of this, what is essentially a criminal cartel. Is in charge of all of our governments. That's really the way I look at the whole thing. I mean, it's a little bit black and white, I suppose, for some people, but that's really what it is. If you want to cut through all the red tape and really get to the bottom of it, what you realize is that what is running our planet is not dissimilar to the mafia, and it exists because we allow it to exist. It's like we never take responsibility for ourselves. We go through life, we go through our childhood with our parents looking after us, and we get to a certain stage in life where we think, well, hang on, I don't need my parents anymore, I can go out on my own into the world. And as soon as we do that, we look for new parents, and we find them in the form of government, and we allow these people to run our lives for us. And they put all their rules in place, and we go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. And they just gradually tighten it and tighten it and tighten it until we all end up this race of robots doing exactly what we're told. And it's because we don't ever take responsibility for themselves. It's like we refuse to grow up and we base our lives in fear. All of our societies are based in fear. We're scared to step outside of the box or to think outside of the box and terrified, absolutely terrified of ever looking at ourselves and taking responsibility for ourselves. And that's a shocking thing for a lot of people to admit. But it really is the basis of the societies that we've constructed for ourselves. And therein lies the problem. That's what needs to be addressed. We need to start taking responsibility for ourselves. And when we understand what we are and what this world truly is, and understand that simply by connecting with each other, helping each other, creating a community and unity in community, we can literally change the entire planet. I've got some initiatives happening here at the moment of global or community unity that we're creating. I'm trying to put the unity back in community, which is what community is supposed to be. The word community actually means common unity, and we've missed all of that. And I believe that by getting this common unity back in place, we could literally walk away from the systems that we've constructed for ourselves. That's how to change the world, non-compliance. There's no good fighting against this system. There's no good having violent revolution. We've had countless violent revolutions all throughout history. None of them have ever really achieved anything. All they've done is give us a temporary reprieve, and they put a new form of tyranny in place, which eventually ends up quite worse than the one that was in place before it. As technology improves, so our methods of tyranny improve. So what's caused none of these revolutions of the past to ever work is because there was never a revolution of consciousness, which is really an evolution of consciousness. We never have ever truly felt that we are free ourselves as people. We've always looked for new parents, and so we always look for government. When we look at government, what is government? Well, whenever I think of government, I think of the two Latin words from which the word is derived, which is guber mente, which means control mind. So all government is a big mind control exercise. And so I think it's just time we came into our power. And I've probably gotten right off the track from whatever question it was you asked me before, but I think I kind of went off on a bit of a tangent there, but I really think it's all about common unity, mate. I really do. I think that's the key to the whole thing.
Exactly. Well, actually, you know, you beautifully just, you know, went into the next question I wanted to ask. You know, I'll skip your other questions, but let's talk more about the unity. So I personally have some of my own information about what you're doing. So, but would you like to tell our listeners something more about who are you starting to unite with, you know, with other people who are actually talking about this global unity as well from a heart-based point of view?
Well, it's amazing, actually. A couple of months ago, I had a little discussion in my little cabin here. There were four of us sitting around, and we were having a discussion about the nature of reality and the nature of atoms and things to a person who just sort of contacted me through Facebook and wanted to meet me, so he came along and we were sitting here having a conversation. And a couple of my friends who were here listening, after we had this big discussion, they said, well, that was amazing. We should do this more often. And I said, well, okay, let's have meetings. So we decided we'll have public meetings or community meetings. We'll all meet at a friend of mine's lounge room. We're going to meet at his place every Monday night. And we went for our first meeting, and there were seven people there. And it's been going for about 2 months now. And the last meeting that we had, there were just over 60 people there. We're all sitting around in this guy's lounge room, 60 people, you know. He's got a reasonable-sized lounge room, thank God. But so we've started this community gathering where we're trying to find ways of empowering the community. And it's quite remarkable that it should have happened where it is, because it's quite a long story, actually, if I was to tell you the whole thing, how it's all come about. But apparently these meetings were predicted or prophesied by a Zulu shaman called Credo Matua, who a lot of people might know from David Icke's work. He talks about Credo quite a bit. The person who actually lives in the house where we're having the meetings met Credo in 1984, and Credo told him that he was going to be instrumental in pulling in a lot of people from all walks of life and all different persuasions and all different nationalities that were going to be instrumental in helping shift the human consciousness. So he kind of came to Australia, and he kind of started moving around, and he triangulated his directions to what felt right, and he ended up in this house, living up in the mountains up behind where I am. And he just sat in this house for 18 months, didn't even go out. He just kind of lived in the house. He went out shopping when he had to, but he basically just stood there and lived in this house, and he came across my work on the internet, and he came across the work of certain other people, and he thought, okay, these are the people I need. I'll call them in. And he never left the house. And I met a friend of a friend and a friend, and ended up at this guy's house. And he's going, oh, you're the guy that I saw on the radio, and rah, rah, rah. And so we've called these meetings in, and suddenly Ben Stewart's come over from America, who made Climatica and Esoteric Agenda, and he's been up there. We've been having meetings, and Freeman here is here at the moment from the Freeman Perspective and Freeman TV and all this. And so we've called all these people in, and all these sort of things are happening. And every time, and we've started all these community initiatives as well, and every time we need something to make some initiative work, We just kind of call it in and someone shows up who has the skill that we need and it gets done. And just as we needed to get this a little bit more global and get it out to the world, what we're actually doing, we're starting to actually build a website which is designed at linking up people who, whoever has something and someone else might need something. Well, we can link you up with who the haves and the needs and the wants and the haves, and so that we can have this global community of giving and sharing and helping and have it in place. So we're working all this and working all this up and getting all this happening. And suddenly yesterday I got a call from Miriam Delicato, who is quite, I'm sure a lot of people know about Miriam. She's quite a well-known woman. She's an author. She's been involved in a lot of community things. She's started the Great Gathering, which I've actually had a link to the Great Gathering on my website, thecrowhouse.com, for the last year, because Miriam actually contacted me a year ago and told me about the Great Gathering, so I put the link up there and then wondered what happened to Miriam. I hadn't heard from her for a year. And suddenly, just as I've got this whole community thing going on, Miriam contacts me yesterday and says she's got the Great Gathering website being updated. She's got this huge community unity, global unity thing going on, which is exactly what I'm doing here, is this big global unity thing. And she's spoken to three or four other people that morning who are all doing the same thing. And I've had Ben Stewart, who, as I said, made Chymatica an esoteric agenda over here, and he's also doing this whole global unity thing called the Hanged Man Project. So now we're going to be able to link all of these things up together. We're going to have five or six very major networks. We'll have my entire fan base, which is quite substantial. My website gets around 40,000 hits a day, sometimes more. We've got all of Ben's fan base. We've got all of Freeman's fan base. We'll have all of Miriam Delicato's fan base and the other people that she's working with as well. So we'll link all this up together, and it's all about creating global unity, creating, putting the unity back in community. And the global unity we're talking about, folks, is not the New World Order. It's not global governments. It's not anything like that. So that's the thing with the New World Order and everything that Al Gore and Bill Gates are trying to do. It's everything we need, but it's they're trying to co-opt it all into this whole global monetary system, carbon tax thing, you know. And the monetary system is the first thing we need to address. So yeah, so all these things have just kind of happened. It's all just kind of fallen into place. And we've got, like I said, 60 people attending these meetings now, and we haven't even advertised or told anybody that we're having these meetings. They've just, all these people have just called in, and every time we need a new skill, it walks in the door. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And, you know, I hope that people are, you know, happy about seeing, you know, all of us coming together, because again, the reason why, one of the reasons why we had Miriam yesterday on the show is that, you know, our project, you know, and our team is working with Miriam as well, and I'm quite sure, you and I, Max, will talk more about some mutual cooperation as well. So I'm just really happy we all can be part of this, no matter which group we belong to, and, that we're actually doing what we're talking about, because we all know that there are different groups, you know, around the world and different people who talk about unity, but they don't do much about it. They talk about it, but that's actually all that they do for various types of reasons. But that's not what I want to focus on right now. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about the future, Max, with you, if you're fine with that. So what do you see happening to the consciousness of humanity before 2012, before this important date that there's too many assumptions about that day, but we all know something's going to happen. So what is your take on that?
I think it's a crossroads. I really do. I think that it provides a choice. I believe that we can either come into our power, discover who and what we actually are, and we can change this world for the better, or we can simply lapse into apathy and allow a police state to be built around us. I really do. I don't go along with a lot of the things that I've heard about, I mean, a lot of the New Age talk that we're all going to ascend to fifth dimension, and those of you that are ready are going to ascend, and those who aren't are not going to ascend, and we're going to split off into parallel realities and all this sort of stuff. I think a lot of this is pure speculation. I think a lot of it is, I mean, it's almost the equivalent of waiting for Jesus to come back and save you. I think there's a lot of people that are waiting for 2012 to happen and thinking that they don't have to do anything to address the problems that we face in the world today, because in 2012 the world's going to change and they're going to be saved. You know, or there's going to be earth changes and we're all going to be back to the caveman era or whatever. I mean, I think a lot of people look at the 2012 date and they use it as an excuse for inaction, unfortunately. I think what it provides us with is an opportunity for a positive evolution of this consciousness. But it's up to us as to whether we embrace that opportunity. I also believe that the human species is a collective consciousness. If you look at the work of people such as Bruce Lipton, for example, he virtually proves that the body is simply a biological computer and that it's downloading consciousness from the surrounding field. Consciousness isn't actually local to your body. It exists in the energy field around you. The space between you and I is not empty. It's full of energy. And it's within that energy that consciousness lies. Your body is simply a biological computer that downloads one frequency from that surrounding field that you experience as agape and that I experience as Max. That's all it actually is. And I think a lot of the New Age movement has forgotten that. I think a lot of people sit there in their little meditation bubbles and their New Age spirituality bubbles, and they believe that if they just focus on what is good and ignore everything around them, then they will ascend to fifth dimension. And I think they forget that it's all about the self, and there's actually only one self. We are all part of the self, and you're never going to cause the self to ascend by ignoring the plight of others. I think that's the important thing. People think, be the change you want to see in the world, and so they lapse into this love and light mentality where all is love and all is light. But they don't look at it holistically, because what they're doing when they do that is they're saying that the change that they want to be, that they are being, is a change that is all love and light within its little personal sphere, but is allowing all of this suffering to go on around because of their passive acquiescence to this suffering. I think we could turn and face the shadow collectively, which is our governments and what our governments are doing to the planet and the corrupt corporate interests that are in control of our governments, what this section of human consciousness is doing to our planet. I believe we could turn and look at that, and we could face that shadow, and we could literally heal it in one moment if we were to just turn and face it as a collective. I truly believe this, and that's why I do what I do. I'll speak out again about love and light, and I'll speak out for positive energy, but I will never stop addressing the corruption. I'll never stop addressing the polarized energies that are in control of the planet, because I believe it's important that we face them and eliminate the power that they have, because that's all it would take to eliminate is to face them. I don't wish harm to any of these people. I don't care if the Rothschilds own all the stuff they do. I don't care what all these ruling families have done. I love them. I don't care what they've done. I just don't want to give my power to them anymore. I don't want to see other people suffering because of the power that they hold over the collective human psyche. And I want people to understand that it is their willingness to give that power away to these people that causes the problems. That, I think, is the essential part that a lot of people miss. That's what I've been trying to promote to people. That's what I've been trying to help people understand, is that it's our acquiescence to this corruption. It's very, very important that we turn and face this corruption to eliminate it from the world. You're not going to do it by sitting there meditating with crystals and thinking that the world is all love and light, because it just isn't that way. It's a collective, and that's what I absolutely believe, and that's why I do what I do, and that's why I say things in the way that I say them. I want people to look at this negative information, but understand that it's just information. What's negative is the emotion that they're attaching to it, but they need to know this information. They need to know these problems exist, because if you don't know what the problem is, then you don't have the opportunity to fix the problem, and the problem isn't going to be fixed by itself. You don't need violence, you don't need guns, you don't need anything. You just need to look at it and realize that it is there, and then walk away from that power. Don't give these people the power that they have that allows them to carry out these atrocities.
Yeah, that's a very important point you made right there, because I know that many, many people have this problem, which they themselves are not able to identify, is that they misunderstood the whole concept of getting away from negativity, and they twisted it into ignoring certain parts of our reality that are happening, and they are basically using the light as a shield from this, and they're just living in fear. You know, it's a camouflage fear that they're living in. And it's too bad that such a thing is happening, and I think it's a very important issue to address in a very neutral way, because, again, I totally understand what the people are trying to achieve, and I just think that some things are being misunderstood and misinterpreted. So, Max, do you see a wave of global unity, like a real one, real unity around the planet, where heart-based people who want to do real work, who don't want to only talk, are coming together all around the planet, and then we need to take this opportunity and this chance right now and do something about it and connect with each other and use our networks and connect between organizations so that we can actually see this positive change of consciousness on this planet happen?
Oh, very much, very much. That's exactly what we need to do. We've got to unite now. We really do. We really have to try to push this forward. And it is a global thing. It is happening globally. And I really see a huge groundswell happening. And it's gaining momentum more all the time. It really is. Like, a year ago, I was just hoping that things were going to happen. But now I'm really seeing it. What's been achieved simply out of these meetings that we're having. And as I said, the way it's all just calling in with what Miriam's doing, with what Ben's doing, with what all these people are doing, they're all doing the same thing. The same as these meetings that I'm having here, and this empowerment that we're giving to the community, and people actually coming back into their power and realizing the power of community. It's happening on a global scale. And it's happening because the conscious energy field is changing. As the human cavity resonance rises, it is changing. People are changing. There'll be many people that won't wake up at first, and that's fine. That's okay. But just as long as we lead by example. Now, I think one of the most important things we can do is plant food gardens everywhere. Get permaculture growing in as many places as you can. I really think that that's one of the most important things you can do. But I really do see a global groundswell just happening right now. It's almost like at the final minute of the final hour, humanity is actually rallying to the call, and more people are coming on board all the time. So, these group meetings, these community meetings that we've started a couple of months ago, these have been fantastic because we've allowed it to just be this organic thing. There's a lot of people that have tried a lot of meetings, and that's exactly what's happening with Miriam as well, and with you, and all the people that have been called in. It's just an organic thing. It's just growing. And too many people have tried to do things like this, and they've kept it structured. They've said, okay, we need to do this, and so we've got this problem, so we need to go and create an alternate community or something, you know. Which is all very well. You want to go and create an alternate community, but what they're failing to address is the problem that has given them the need to even go and create an alternative community. Why do they need to do this? So they're running away from the community they have and going to create a little one over the side of you and hope that no one notices them. Well, eventually they're just going to get stomped on like everybody else. There's no way you can hide from what's happening. The only way to do it is to create this groundswell. And this groundswell has started. It's happening right now. And we've created this group, and it's just grown organically. And a couple of weeks ago, it absolutely centered. It totally grounded itself in the energy of the earth or something. I don't know what happened, but it was an incredible meeting. But at the end of the night, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. And I was getting messages on Skype from other people who were at the meeting and going, Max, I can't sleep, because we were all so energized from this meeting. And something I want to say about the place where I'm doing this, which is quite remarkable, really. There's been a lot of talk over the years about the birthplace of man, and there was speculation for a long time that man came out of Africa. There was even a TV series called Out of Africa, which showed how the humankind was born out of Africa. They found that the fossil Lucy, I think it was, which they claimed to be the oldest person. But if you look at the African genome, you find that there are 7 different genome types in the African Negro. And they say the more diversity of genome, then the older the race. And when you look at the Australian Aboriginal, you find that there are over 30 different genomes in the Australian Aboriginal. And you also find that there's been Aboriginal skulls that have been found all around the planet, all through Europe, through South America, through Africa. This has all been found since they claimed that man first came out of Africa. And so it would appear that the Australian Aboriginal is actually the oldest race on Earth. These are very likely the original race on Earth. And when you talk to the Australian Aboriginal elders and you ask them where their race came from, where was the birthplace of their race, and they say it was the very region that I'm living in right now. They call this the cradle of life. We call it the Green Cauldron. It's a particularly fertile area of the planet. There's over 30 metres of topsoil here in this one particular area. It's some of the best soil you'll find anywhere. And they call this place, the Australian Aboriginal call this place the birthplace of their race. And so when these meetings suddenly organically formed and then things started calling in from around me, and then things like, as I said, Ben coming over, Freeman coming over, Miriam contacting me out of the blue yesterday, all of these things that are just manifesting and happening in this incredibly precise yet incredibly synchronistic order, exactly as we need them to happen. As soon as we had this website ready to go, bang, Miriam comes online with this whole global thing she's doing, which links it all up. You know, you see what I'm saying? All of this stuff. And when you look at the place that all this is, this idea, well, for me anyway, was formed, and these meetings were formed as being the birthplace of man, something that I say at the meetings is that it's only fitting that it's going to be here, that it's going to be a very, very significant place in what is going to be the saviour of man, what is going to be the shift in human consciousness that changes the direction that we're going in, because this is the cradle of life. So it's only fitting that answers are going to be found here that are going to help humanity. I really believe that. I think this is a very powerful area. So I thought I'd share that with you as well.
That's great. Yeah, I've heard about those reports, and we also know that the indigenous people and the tribes are actually coming forward. Well, not all of them, but some of them are, and they're coming forward with their wisdom, saying something very similar. You know, they're saying that we will start to find things around the planet that will start to slowly change the consciousness of the humanity itself. You know, the things that have been hidden for a long time for very specific reasons, because it was planned like that, you know, for the sake of the evolution itself of consciousness, that they'll start to be explored. And they're saying many, many other different things, you know, and so I think definitely it is a very important time where we do need to come together, and I'm very happy that we as a group are coming together, because again, we had very interesting synchronicities with, you know, with you and with Miriam, and we just happened to come all together in one time, and I think, you know, we're starting something very interesting in here and very true. So I'm very happy about that. So Max, would you like to speak a little bit more about the things you are planning with Ben Stewart?
Yeah, well, what we're doing actually, we're creating a new film, which is going to be quite different to anything that we've done before. And again, this is another organic sort of a process. Excuse me. We kind of had ideas about where we want to go with the film. And when we started filming it, some of the rushes and the footage that we were looking at, we began to see that it was possible to create so much more out of what we're doing. We've got a remarkable young Tibetan guy doing camera work for us, and he has an amazing perspective and an amazing sense of cinematography. And so as soon as we started seeing some of the footage that he'd been shooting, because we're all there sort of telling him what to do. Oh, look, we want this like this, and we want this like that. And he's looking at us going, yeah, 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 no worries, no worries. They do you, you know. And then when we saw what he was doing on his own, we thought, oh, well, sorry for saying anything. You know, you can just do it all. We trust you. You know, he's actually quite amazing, this young guy. So we've got him working with us, and it's this kind of evolving thing. We'll probably end up doing maybe two or three parts to it. We do want to start off with like probably a 90-minute production, possibly 2 hours, but maybe 90 minutes, maybe even an hour, if we can get it down that short, which is aimed at Joe Public. So we've got a film we can take to someone who is the most asleep person you're ever going to find, and he's going to wake up to the fact that maybe his attention is required to matters of state, that all is not well, and that the who's steering the ship of state might possibly not be steering it in the best of directions. Now, we might be sort of heading for the edge of the earth or something, you know, about to fall off one of the waterfalls. So that's what we're trying to do with the first part of it anyway. A very, very mainstream approach to the first part. A lot of what both of us have done has been quite esoteric, like Ben with Chimatica, myself with things like The Awakening and The Calling. A lot of this has been quite conspiracy-based and quite esoteric. And so we're trying to get away from all of that for this first production and aim that at Joe Public. And then for later productions, because we've just got so much footage here and so much really good footage, that we might end up doing another thing that is more consciousness-based as well. I can't see even the first one being out before probably March or April next year, though, in all honesty, because there's an awful lot of footage to go through, and we've still got an awful lot of work to do on it. So I think it's going to take a little time, but as I said, the first one's going to be very mainstream, so it'll be very different to anything either of us have done, because it's no good always preaching to the choir. It's all very good to make films for people who are already awake and give them little different ideas and more information on how to improve themselves and how to have a little bit more understanding of things, but it still doesn't help wake up that collective consciousness, and I think that's what we really need to do. So that's what we're sort of aiming at with the first one anyway.
Uh-huh. And it's quite interesting that you've mentioned that after you're done with the first production, which will be, you know, for the general public, that you know, you want to do something else, which will be more for the people who are not considered really being part of general public in terms of their consciousness. Because I know about, you know, and we spoke with Miriam about this a little bit briefly, that there is starting to be, there's a certain kind of like a mood between the projects, you know, that we're talking about to, you know, create some media documentary or something like that about, you know, this thing that we call the real unity, or however we want to call it, you know, and really address different projects and people around the world on a common base to really start working together and provide platforms and opportunities for those projects to come together. And so I know that you're working on something quite similar as regards to what TrueBook is doing and what The Great Gathering is doing. So would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's basically going to be software that is incorporated into a website. And the website will basically work almost like a game. And it's basically aimed at linking up the haves with the needs, or the haves with the wants, the haves with the have-nots. You might have people who have a particular skill, but they've got nowhere with which to operate that skill. You might have someone who has everything that this person needs, but doesn't know how to go about it. So you might be able to get these people to work together. And it's about bringing people together. You know, you might have land, but you can't work the land. You might have someone else who wants to work land, but doesn't have any land. Well, you can come here and we can maybe work something out together, you know. It's about linking people globally. You might be traveling somewhere overseas. You want to go and work on a permaculture farm, so you can look at this database and you can find what's there. You might be traveling somewhere and might want to work as a motorbike mechanic. Whatever, you know, you'll find the link there, so there'll be someone in that country you're going to who needs a motorbike mechanic. or whatever, you know. So whatever it is, just ways of linking the community up so we can do it without basically trying to eliminate government from the equation, you know, and bring it all back to community. And as I said with the film there as well, we need to do that and try to help people become conscious and get people on these type of initiatives, because it becomes very, you've got to be very careful when you're a filmmaker and you're doing things like what I'm doing, what Ben's doing. You suddenly, because you start making these things and you think, I wonder if anyone's actually watching this. And you find out that thousands, millions of people actually are, and they're listening to what you're saying. And people that get into this conspiracy culture, it begins to become like a, it's almost like a movie for them. They're waiting for the next installment. So they're depending on you to give them their fix for the next installment. And they're failing to act because they keep waiting for the next installment. You know, and this guy's going to save me, Ben Stewart's going to save me, or Max Egan's going to save me. He's going to release a film that's got all the answers. I don't have to act myself. And I really like this movie. It's really exciting. Where's the next installment? So you've got to be very careful as a filmmaker that you don't fall into that trap as well. You've got to try to provide people with solutions that they can implement into their own lives. And that's what we're trying to do with this LinkUp website. And that's why I was so excited hearing from Miriam, because she's doing something which is virtually the same. And she's doing it about gatherings and events and things like this that are happening all around the world that we can all link up together. So we can link all of this stuff up together with what you're doing, with what Miriam's doing, with what I'm doing, with what Ben's doing with the Hangman Project. We can link all of these things together and create this huge global network, which will eventually leave the internet and become this self-sustaining organism. I mean, it's like what we've created here is almost a new life form. It's an energetic life form that now has its own being, and it's just manifesting and manifesting and manifesting, and it's spreading out on this global scale. And what I say to people when they ask me why I do what I'm doing, what is my goal, and I say my goal is to make myself obsolete so that what my message just carries out, and eventually I'm not needed to give this message to people. People will have the message and they'll be doing it in their own communities. That's planned obsolescence. That's my job for me.
Yeah, I feel very much the same thing. And we have actually discussed this with Miriam yesterday, that humility and being humble is one of the very important things we need to relearn, because I do believe we all have that inside of us. We're just not allowing that to, you know, be our experience. Because that is one of the things that can really help us to achieve a real unity, where we look at things that, you know, even with the people that may have disagreed with our perceptions of how the world, you know, operates, but there are still many common things we can work under. And, you know, it's really interesting that all these projects, including your project and including Miriam's project and Truebook project and just many others, you know, are coming together, and that the people within this group really do understand that, you know, that this is not about Agape or Max or Miriam or whoever, you know, that this is just really about bringing the people together and showing them, as you said, that they need to act upon themselves, that they cannot wait for Ben to release a new movie or for Miriam to do some new interview where she'll give some, you know, information, etc., but that they really have to start working together where they are and also globally with other people and organizations in order to get this change happening, you know. So, Max, do you believe that we can achieve this given the current state of human consciousness? Do you think like this is something that actually can be done globally so that we see the implication on a big enough scale that the collective consciousness will follow up?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I think that we will do it. I think that we already have done it. This is simply how it was done. I think that we have a wonderful opportunity with all of this, and I really think that we will do it with enough people in the right mindset on board, you know, non-violent, non-compliance, simply building community, putting common unity back in community. That's all it will take. Simply growing up, for the human race to finally grow up and realize that we don't need parents. You know, that's all it will take. And I believe we do it. I believe that we will do it. I believe that we have every opportunity right here at our fingertips. It may be close. It may get a lot worse yet. In fact, I have every confidence that it will. But I still believe that we will pull through in the end. And I think this is simply how it happens. But we have to embrace it now. We have to take the bull by the horns. We really have to build community now, because that's the only way we're going to do it, is through community. We have to build strong community. And it has to be a global community. And that's what we have to do. So, I love what you're doing. It's great to have you on board. And it's great that all of these people have just connected with each other. And we're all on the same page. And we're all working towards a common goal. And I think that between us, we're an unstoppable force. I really do.
That's great that we're actually seeing all this happen. So, Max, we have about 10 minutes left. Is there something you would like to leave our listeners with before we go?
Well, really just what I've been saying about how all of the problems that we face are simply symptoms. There really is only one problem, and on the deepest level of analyzing that one problem is ourselves. That one problem is our acquiescence to the corruption that currently runs our planet. We need to address this. We really do. We can build all the alternate communities that we want, but until we address the problem which is causing us the need to build these alternative communities, we're never really going to get anywhere. We need to understand that.
All right, seems like we have just lost Max in there. I'll call him right back, so just stand by. I'm calling him right now as we speak.
Community. One person can't stand up against the system. And the system is broken, folks. It's totally corrupt. It doesn't work at all. There's no way we can even using the system to change the system. It's been designed to never allow that to happen. But it doesn't work anymore. So, and what does work is community. What does work is people. So that's what you have to do. You've really got to build community, put in gardens, and help those around you. Realize that there's no division. There's no division amongst anybody. All the trinkets and social status and all the stuff that we collect, it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. What means something is people. You know, your heart, your intention, you know, the love that you give, that's what means something. And as many people have often said, the pain that you carry is always and has always been the love that you withhold. So get that love out into the community, folks. We've started a market store where we're giving everything away. Part of the meetings that we've had, we're just collecting stuff from the community, anything that anybody's got that still works that they don't want, just give it to us. We'll take it to a market store and we'll give it away to someone who needs it. And we don't want anything for it. It's all giveaway. It's a free of charge initiative. Because that's what humankind should be, free of charge. Free of emotional charge, free of energetic charge, free of legal charge, free of monetary charge. We just should be free. And so that's what we're trying to work towards. And with all these community gatherings that are happening, and it's so great to be part of all of this, and it's such an honor be a part of all this. It's a hell of a time to be alive. We're here for the big shift. But what that shift will be depends on us, depends on our consciousness, depends on the energetic state we choose to embrace. And so that's a very important thing. I think it's very important to know what your intentions are in all your actions. Intention is everything. If you're working towards empowering the community and empowering your fellow man, then it can be the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. The way to improve your own life, folks, is and has always been to improve the lives of those around you. And I think that's a great message for people to take home.
That's a really, really great way to say it. Okay, well, thank you very much, Max, so much for being here with us. You know, it's been a really great pleasure having you on the show, and I thank everyone for being here and listening to our second part of the Real Unity series. Next up, I'll be speaking with Felipe Alexander. He and his wife, Leia Turin, are quite the incredible couple with just beautiful energy. So tune to True Book Radio next time. Follow True Book on on Facebook where we're talking about all the other projects that we're working with, so you can actually catch up on what's happening. And thank you very much for being here with us, and I wish you a beautiful day wherever you are on our planet. Have a great day, and I'll see you again here on the True Book Radio.